I'm pleased to be speaking with Mona Hodgson, author of the Sinclair Sisters series, about her upcoming novel. Hi, Mona. It's good to talk to you.
Hi. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Your new novel, Prairie Song, picks up where the novellas of the Quilted Heart series end. How did those novellas build to this book, and what characters might we see again?
Well, the three novellas, Dandelions on the Wind, Bending Toward the Sun, and Ripples Along the Shore, introduced readers to the widow Elsa Brandenburg's St. Charles Quilting Circle in 1865. This was just months after General Lee's surrender and the war between the states came to an end. The loss of a son, a husband, a father, and or a brother devastated the women in the Quilted Heart novellas. In the context of these hardships and sufferings, the women in the quilting circle found kinship and healing in standing side by side. So in Prairie Song, a few of the women in the quilting circle will choose to stay behind to rebuild their lives in war-torn Missouri, while many of them will help provision wagons for a caravan headed west. So among those characters heading west in the caravan of wagons are two beloved supporting characters from my Sinclair Sisters of Cripple Creek series. In Two Brides Too Many, Too Rich for a Bride, The Bride Wore Blue, and Twice a Bride. Miss Hattie, a widow, the proprietor of Miss Hattie's boarding house, where each of the Sinclair Sisters and Willow Peterson boarded, and Mr. Boney Hughes, a crusty miner who served as a sidekick and mentor, or was he a guardian angel? Did you know Miss Hattie Pemberton and Boney Hughes spent much of their youth in Missouri? St. Charles, to be exact. It's true. You won't want to miss this opportunity to get to know Miss Hattie and Mr. Boney in their early years.
In Prairie Song, a group of pioneers set out from St. Charles, Missouri, and head west in a wagon train. Where did your interest in wagon trains come from, and how is wagon training different after the Civil War?
My granny and her sister, my great aunt Elva, had covered wagon lamps in their homes that intrigued me. You lifted and lowered the tongue of the wagon to turn the light on and off. And westerns were among my favorite TV shows, including Wagon Train. I was fascinated with the concept of traveling across country in a wagon as part of a moving neighborhood. Now, in the 1840s and 1850s, these were definitely decades, the big decades for travel in wagon trains, with gold being the greatest incentive. But thousands still traveled in wagon caravans through the 1860s up to the early 1870s when east to westbound trains became more readily available. The differences in the post-Civil War mid-60s on were that, one, various trails had been well traveled, marked, and even documented. Secondly, more families were traveling west rather than just the men seeking gold. And third, towns, small and large, had been established along much of the route, or at the least, wagon train travelers would find a stage stop every two or three days. This meant that they could replenish most supplies if they had the funds to do so.
Your novels always have a number of strong elements, but they're particularly strong on romance and strong in spiritual journey. Is one easier to write than the other, and how does a character's journey come to you?
My desire to write love stories has grown out of my personal spiritual journey. John 13:12-13 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." That's what a committed love is all about, what marriage vows are all about, laying down one's self, pride, selfish agenda for the one they love. Jesus did that for me and for you. Is one easier to write than the other? For me, the spiritual journey and romance are two braided story threads. as the characters grow in their understanding of God's amazing love and grace, their hearts open to loving one another. And for some of my characters, that leads them to romance. Now, as far as the character's journey, how that comes to me, when I have a character in mind, I like to interview them and or listen to him or her tell me the basics of their personal story, such as where they come from, their work, their interests, their family dynamics. But most of a character's journey comes to me in the form of discovery as I write them into settings and scenes. I discover more and more of who they are, what they believe, what they want, and what they're willing to do to achieve their goals.
Now, Mona, you have really become quite the blogger in a short period, just over the last few months, also keeping busy on Facebook and Twitter. What's been the most surprising reward of the social media outreach?
Yes, 3 months ago, I began blogging regularly on Hindsight by Mona Hodson. As a matter of fact, today's post is number 48. You can find my blog on my website at www.monahodgson.com. I blog on everything from Victorian history, my children's books, devotional thoughts from my novels, guest authors, videos on mining, outtake chapters, sneak peeks at new book covers, book giveaways and contests, etc. The most surprising reward, I've been told I write and speak in a devotional style. For me, blogging, Facebook, and Twitter expand my opportunities to encourage, inspire, and inform readers and followers. Also, writing can be a solitary endeavor. Tapping away at my keyboard in my office or at the dining room table, alone with my thoughts and research. Blogging and social media keeps me connected with the folks I write books for and speak to at women's retreats or conferences.
Mona Hodgson has been my guest today. She's the author of the Sinclair Sisters series, and her brand new title with Waterbrook Multnomah is Prairie Song. Mona, thanks again. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.